Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seifker, your host for the program. Happy and blessed to be here with you today on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, I got an email recently from a friend up in Indianapolis who likewise does some sidewalk advocacy outside of a Planned Parenthood facility there. She was asking what we were seeing down here in Bloomington as far as foot traffic goes. She had just read an article from the Indy Star that was entitled, "Patients Head to Indiana for Abortion Services as Other States Restrict Care." Now, thankfully for the abortion facility that she and her team cover, which is the Planned Parenthood located on Georgetown Road, the number of women going in has actually been a little lower than normal. So she was kind of confused by the paper's headline. Sadly, I had to tell her that Bloomington is having the highest number ever of women coming in to have the lives of their unborn children ended. And we're not only seeing a lot of women coming from other states like Kentucky, Illinois, and Tennessee, but we're also seeing a lot of women from right here in southern Indiana. It's like there's this rush to get in and have an abortion before it becomes illegal. We're going to continue talking on the show today about what we've been seeing in the immediate aftermath of the overturning of Roe and Casey, and we'll run through some of the statistics and information found in the newly released annual Indiana Termination of Pregnancy Report. But before we do go any further, let's offer a prayer together, invoking the intercession of the patron of this program. St. Maximilian Kolbe, patron of the pro-life movement, hear this prayer of supplication that we address to you with confidence. St. Maximilian, we honor your life that was guided by the unshakable faith in the mystery of the Incarnation. We admire your public witness for the sanctity of life and your ultimate sacrifice for the life of another when you offered yourself to save a fellow prisoner. We pray, please move the consciences of those contemplating abortion. Please move to repentance and healing the women and men who have chosen abortion over the gift of life. Please intercede for all unborn children. Pray that their mothers will see, hear, and know that what they carry in their womb is a person, a special and unique gift from God our Creator. Please comfort the women who suffer from post-abortion trauma and inspire them to seek spiritual and psychological help. Please sustain the courage and wisdom of the pro-life movement so that they may be peaceful witnesses to the sanctity of life. Please move the hearts of our lawmakers, judges, and fellow citizens so the scourge of abortion will no longer be the law of the land. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. HRA Pharma has become the first company to seek approval from the FDA for an over-the-counter birth control pill that would be available without a prescription. Since the Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe and Casey, critics are citing concerns over adequate access to contraceptives. This historic application marks a groundbreaking moment in contraceptive access and reproductive equity in the U.S., the Chief Strategic Operations and Innovation Officer for HRA Pharma said. In March, more than 50 members of the U.S. House's pro-choice caucus sent a letter to the FDA urging the agency to review over-the-counter applications for birth control pills right away. A 2016 study showed that of American women who had ever tried to get a prescription for birth control, 29% reported a problem with obtaining the drug, with those who were uninsured or Spanish-speaking having the most difficulty. And the U.S. House of Representatives, under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi, will be voting on Friday, July 15th on a couple of extreme abortion bills that would make it federal law for abortion to be made available on demand in every state. H.R. 8296 would erase all current life-saving state laws like heartbeat bills, dismemberment abortion bans, sex selection abortion bans, laws that require in-person counseling, and informed consent laws. Provisions in another bill, H.R. 8297, would protect abortionists and promote dangerous chemical abortion drugs. The U.S. bishops are urging Catholics to contact their U.S. representatives and tell them to vote no on H.R. 8296 and 8297. And a special prayer and fasting novena for life is being held from 6 a.m. Saturday morning, July 16th, until 6 a.m. Monday morning, July 25th. For 24 hours on each of those 9 consecutive days, local Catholics will be keeping vigil there at 421 South College Avenue, outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, to pray for our state legislators, judges, and governor as they begin their special session to discuss banning abortion here in Indiana. Reports are coming in that some Republican state senators are balking at the idea of a total or even a more restricted ban. The need is therefore arising for Hoosiers to hit their knees and offer up some intense penances for our elected officials. Please be sure to join us in prayer throughout these 9 days and to contact your state representatives to tell them to take courage and end the violence of abortion here in Indiana. On Tuesday, July 26th at 11 a.m., Indiana Right to Life will be hosting a Love Them Both rally at the South Atrium of the State House. Pro-life activists from around the state will gather to show the overwhelming support for life that exists in every corner of the Hoosier State. You're encouraged to attend the gathering. Finally, and sadly, 25 innocent unborn children were violently killed by abortion this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Slightly more than half of the women came to 421 South College Avenue from out of state to take the lives of their unborn children. Please continue to pray unceasingly for a change of hearts and for miracles so that a culture of life, purity, and love may be built up here in our community and beyond. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, as it does every year near the beginning of July, the Indiana Department of Health released its figures and demographics for abortions performed here in Indiana in 2021. And sorrowfully, for the second year in a row, the number of unborn children killed by abortion has increased over the previous year, in large part due to the number of women coming to Indiana from out of state. The annual termination of pregnancy report from the Department of Health shows that 8,414 abortions were reported as being performed in the state during 2021. 658 more unborn children were killed by abortion in 2021 than in 2020, an increase of 8.5%, so a pretty substantial jump there. And the abortion pill was the method of execution for ending the life of an unborn child in about 57% of the cases last year here in Indiana. Now, as I've mentioned on past shows, the number of abortions performed there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood last year in 2021 actually declined significantly. There were 512 abortions reported as being carried out there at 421 South College Avenue, which was 2/3 of the number performed there in 2020. So thanks be to God, we saw a 33% drop in the number of unborn children killed there last year over the previous year. So the trend here in Bloomington last year did not follow the statewide increase. However, this year, there's been a stark change for the worse. From January through June of 2021, there were 317 abortions performed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. This year, during that same time period, we estimate that about 429 abortions took place there. That's a very substantial increase there of about 35%. And much of this can be attributed to more women coming to Indiana from Kentucky. Well, in fact, the Indy Star article that I referenced at the start of the program has abortionist Katie McHugh saying the very same thing. McHugh, who is an OBGYN from Indianapolis who drives down to Bloomington on a lot of Thursdays to take the lives of unborn children, is quoted as saying that she has seen a lot of Kentucky patients coming to Indiana in higher numbers since earlier spring of this year, when more restrictive laws took effect in the Bluegrass State. McHugh also told the paper that she has seen an insane amount of requests from women in Kentucky and Ohio since Roe v. Wade was overturned and near or total bans placed on abortions in those states. And until Indiana does something here with getting its own ban passed, we'll just continue to see the women streaming in, especially from out of state, to have the lives of their unborn children ended. Now, getting back to the 2021 Termination of Pregnancy Report, it's always interesting and helpful to look at specific data. About 68% of the abortions that took place last year were on children who had a gestational age of 8 weeks or younger. About 31% of the abortions were done on babies who were 9 to 13 weeks gestational. Now, here's a really stomach-turning trend. The number of later-term abortions being done here in Indiana keeps rising. And yes, late-term abortions are legal in Indiana under some conditions. By law, after the first trimester, an abortion must be performed in a hospital or in a licensed surgical center, but before the baby is viable. After viability, an abortion is only allowed in the state to protect the health of the mother and must be performed in a hospital with a premature birth unit if available and in the presence of a second physician in case the child is born alive. So in 2020, 69 later-term unborn children were killed, and that number rose by over 50% in 2021 to 105 unborn children being killed here in Indiana who were either in the second or third trimester. Now, for second trimester abortions, it's typical for the abortionist to use what is called the dilation and evacuation procedure, or the D&E for short. Pro-lifers are much more honest and call it what it actually is, dismemberment abortion. This method is so barbaric that our own Indiana legislators, like those in several other states, have tried to ban the procedure. Back in April of 2019, Governor Holcomb signed the House Enrolled Act 1211 that banned D&E abortions. But before the ink was even dry, the ACLU filed a lawsuit against the state, and a judge slapped an injunction on the law, and so Indiana could not even enforce the ban. You know, normal people would rise up in horror over things such as this, tearing the arms and legs off of a living human being. But we don't live in normal times, do we? According to the Charlotte Lozier Institute, an unbiased review of the scientific evidence shows that the unborn can feel pain as early as 12 weeks, and most certainly after 18 weeks. In fact, studies also show that the earlier infants are delivered, the stronger is their response to pain because the neural mechanisms that inhibit pain sensations do not begin to develop until 34 to 36 weeks in utero and are not complete until a significant time after birth. This means that unborn as well as newborn and preterm infants show hyper-responsiveness to pain. So, what must it feel like for a 16 or 18-week-old child in the womb to have the limbs ripped off of his or her body? It's so hard to believe that such a gruesome procedure as the D&E abortion has been permitted to go on for years in our state and throughout the country. In a recent article penned by pro-life activist Sarah Terzo and carried by Live Action News, Terzo quoted some abortionists who perform second trimester abortions. One such abortion doctor is Mark Heller. In a 2022 released book that is touted as bringing together the voices of abortion providers, abortion counselors, clinic owners, and bioethicists to discuss how and why providing abortion care is moral work, Heller describes a second trimester abortion, including how the creamy brain tissue pours onto the speculum. And then he makes the following comment. I experience a mixture of horror and relief when I crush the skull of a second trimester fetus, knowing that I will be able to safely complete the procedure. But also, I will see the squashed face and bulging eyes of the baby I just killed. As Terzo points out, Heller knows that he is violently killing babies. Well, that comment, which I can't believe they even published in a book, and that just goes to show you the brazenness of abortion supporters. I guess they believe that most people are indifferent and will do next to nothing to try and stop such barbarity and evil. But that comment that he made speaks volumes. We need to be quoting these abortionists whenever we try and explain to others what an abortion actually does to an unborn child. Well, in her write-up appearing on Live Action's website, Turzo says that many abortionists, like Mark Heller, use the word baby when admitting what it is they do during an abortion. She quotes another abortion doctor from an article in American Medical News who says, "I have angry feelings at myself for feeling good about grasping the head, for feeling good about doing a technically good procedure that destroys a fetus, kills a baby." And yet another unnamed abortionist in an interview for Think Atheist said, "Second trimester abortions are much more difficult and riskier for the mom, hence the limited number of us who actually do them. They are also unpleasant because the procedure, dilation and evacuation, involves pulling out the baby in pieces." Finally, Turzo quotes abortionist John Parsons, who said, "A late termination is actually not very nice, and there is no way of getting away from it. I don't feel I am doing it for any other reason than for the best of both the mother and the baby." Oh yeah, because crushing the skull until the brain seeps out and yanking off the limbs of a living unborn child can be what is best for the baby. What can we even say to such nonsense, such savagery that goes on hundreds of times every single day in our country? And the abortion industry guards this procedure like a prized jewel, crying foul whenever a state tries to ban it. Worse yet, judges are right there too, blocking the enforcement of such a ban, just like they did on Indiana's. But then the Dobbs decision came along, and finally, things may be starting to turn around. Soon after the Supreme Court issued its decision to return the matter of abortion to the states, Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita asked the U.S. District Court to lift injunctions on several of Indiana's abortion laws, including the one placed on the bill to ban the dismemberment abortion. On Thursday, July 7th, Judge Sarah Evans Barker lifted the injunction on Indiana's 2019 law against the D&E procedure, citing the Supreme Court's ruling on Dobbs. So as of now, the procedure is banned. Now, I want to mention that this state law is not perfect either. The regulation prohibits doctors from performing dilation and evacuation abortions unless there is serious health risk or to save the life of the mother. What this all really means is anybody's guess, so we need to make sure that we keep praying and fasting for our legislators and judges, for the conversion of abortionists and all those who support abortion, and for an end to abortion, period. And we need to keep educating people, letting our family and friends know, hey, did you know that over 100 later-term unborn babies had their lives violently taken from them last year right here in Indiana? And then we can describe the D&E abortion to them and quote some of the abortionists who actually perform it. Because as we say so often, a change in law is necessary and good, but we really need a change of minds and hearts, especially since the law usually only goes so far. Okay, so that was a little sidetrack there talking about second trimester abortions because, again, the number of those being performed here in Indiana has been increasing year after year. But hopefully now, since the ban on dismemberment abortions is now in effect, we should be seeing a significant decrease in the number of those being performed here in the state. And sadly, I think we can expect this gruesome procedure to still be done because the law allows for it for serious health risks. And by the way, pro-life doctors say abortion, the intentional killing of a fetal human being, is never medically necessary. There are rare circumstances when a mother's life or health is in jeopardy, but it is extremely rare for this to occur prior to the point of viability, which is usually about 22 to 23 weeks. What needs to happen in these types of cases, pro-life doctors say, is that the baby needs to be delivered immediately. We can save the life of the mother through delivery of an intact infant, and then give both the care they need, the pro-life doctors say. And also remember what the one abortionist told Think Atheist in an interview, that second trimester abortions are more difficult and riskier for the mother, and very unpleasant to perform because the baby is coming out in pieces. So moving on now to another item of interest contained within the 2021 Indiana Termination of Pregnancy Report, and that is the complications section. Now, this is a new statistic that is being tracked by the state and is a result of our legislators asking that abortionists by law report any complications that occur from an abortion. In 2021, there were 51 complications reported by abortionists to the Indiana Department of Health. The list of problems included women hemorrhaging, uterine perforations, cervical lacerations, infections, and retained products of conception. Since this data was not collected in prior years, we have nothing yet to make comparisons to. Okay, by way of demographics, another highly notable statistic in the report is that blacks made up 35.4% of those women who obtained an abortion in 2021 here in Indiana. And that percentage was up from last year's. What's so sorrowful about this is that black women represent less than 10% of Indiana's population. So there's a great disparity here. Lots of precious black babies are being disproportionately killed in their mothers' wombs, never seeing the light of day. You gotta wonder how proud the eugenicist and foundress of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, would have been. Another sad statistic is that 86% of the women procuring abortions last year were unmarried. And here we're reaping the rotten fruit of fornication. The final statistic I want to bring up again is the increase we are seeing in women coming to Indiana from out of state to procure an abortion. In 2020, it was reported that 384 women traveled to Indiana to take the life of their unborn child, the bulk of them coming from Kentucky and then Illinois and Michigan. Last year, in 2021, the Hoosier state saw 465 women crossing the state line, about a 20% increase, with, again, the majority coming from Kentucky and then Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee. When the statistics for 2022 are all finally gathered, we'll no doubt see a great increase in non-residential women seeking abortions here in Indiana because of Kentucky's and Ohio's stricter abortion laws, at least as it stands right now. And we can hope and pray that this will change very soon. Our own state legislature will be meeting, assuming it's not postponed yet again, for a special session to discuss banning or at least further restricting abortion starting on Monday, July 25th, the Feast of St. James, and the anniversary of the release of the encyclical Humanae Vitae. So a very important and providential date there. Now, already, as you well know, abortion supporters in the state have been gathering and protesting and demanding that our legislators keep abortion legal in Indiana. And of course, the media, like the Indy Star, are all too happy to help broadcast and push their message. And there's one story in particular that has received national attention and gone viral. It's the account of a 10-year-old girl who lived in Ohio and became pregnant and was allegedly denied an abortion there due to the state's newly passed heartbeat law. So the little girl traveled to an abortion center in Indianapolis to obtain a chemical abortion. The Indy Star began its July 1st report on this incident saying, on Monday, June 27th, 3 days after the Supreme Court issued its groundbreaking decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, Dr. Caitlin Bernard, an Indianapolis obstetrician gynecologist, took a call from a colleague, a child abuse doctor in Ohio. Hours after the Supreme Court action, the Buckeye State had outlawed any abortion after 6 weeks. Now, this doctor had a 10-year-old patient in the office who was 6 weeks and 3 days pregnant. The paper went on to report how Bernard, who is a doctor at IU Health, helped the little girl to obtain the abortion here in Indiana. Of course, the story tugged at the heartstrings of everyone, and abortion supporters quickly latched onto it, using this hard case to say, see, if Indiana outlaws abortion, where will women in dire need go? You can't force a 10-year-old girl to have a baby. Many pro-life advocates replied, now wait a minute. If this story is really true, let's talk about why there's a 10-year-old girl pregnant to begin with. Let's talk about the rapist, the pervert who did this to this little girl. Was law enforcement even contacted? It seemed to many of us just how quick abortion supporters were to desire and demand the execution of a completely innocent new life without even justly demanding that the perpetrator of the crime be found and arrested. Well, over the past couple of days, details have become more elucidative, and it's not good. Apparently, a man who is in the country illegally has been arrested and has confessed to being intimate with the child on at least two occasions. But in an interview with a reporter from Telemundo, an American Spanish language network, the mother of the little girl can be heard defending the man, saying he has done nothing wrong. Some Hispanic commentators are putting forth the idea that this is a domestic situation, wherein the confessed rapist is probably also the paramour of the victim's mother. It's quite likely that the mother and her children are here illegally and fear deportation. It's also probable that the man is the family's only source of income, hence the mother's defense of the rapist. There are still a lot of unknowns in this sad, sad tale, and it's horrific that abortion supporters have used this story to try and further their cause by trying to generate discomfort in the minds of people to banning abortion. As it appears right now, the problems run so much more deeply and are the rotten fruit of a culture steeped in impurity and in the breakdown of marriage and family life. Oh, how we must pray, fast, and keep proclaiming the good news of the gospel and God's beautiful plan for human sexuality. And another recent write-up in the Indy Star about the abortion debate and those hard cases was entitled, "Hundreds Attend Bans Off Block Party as Special Session on Abortion Access Nears." The paper noted how the event came just a day after a federal judge lifted an order against an Indiana law that largely bans doctors from performing dilation and evacuation abortions. The article included a quote from one of the many women who shared their own personal abortion stories. This mother said, "My husband and I knew that as much as we loved her and wanted to bring her home, allowing her to suffer was not an option. We terminated our pregnancy at 21 weeks and 6 days." Oh yes, how we need a change of minds and hearts. And we also need a change in the law, of course, to end the grave injustice of abortion. Our state lawmakers will have the opportunity to do just that as they begin their discussions on July 25th. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb released a statement saying, "I've been clear in stating I am pro-life. We have an opportunity to make progress in protecting the sanctity of life, and that's exactly what we will do." It is time for all Indiana Christians to commit themselves to some intense prayer and fasting, because it is now possible that we could basically see the end of abortion here in the state. There will be a special novena for life held outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood starting at 6 a.m. on Saturday, July 16th, the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, all the way through 6 a.m. on Monday, July 25th. We'll have 24 hours of prayer coverage there at 421 South College Avenue for each of those 9 days. We need your help to accomplish this. Now is the time to give your all. Then on Monday, July 25th, from 9 a.m. until the Friars' Holy Hour, there will be Eucharistic Adoration going on at the Sacred Heart Chapel at the Mother of the Redeemer Chapel. You can sign up for both of these prayer opportunities by contacting Alexis Seifker at alexisgseifker@gmail.com. That's alexisgseifker@gmail.com. We need to be very generous with our time, prayers, and fasting right now. Let us have compassion for all the wounded souls all around us who appear as half dead. May our prayers and penances be as spiritual oil and wine poured forth over their wounds to help heal them. We will need to take some more time off from producing any new programs right now so that we can devote ourselves to these important prayer efforts. We'll be back again in about 3 weeks. May God bless you for all you do for the building up of a culture of life. Let us not grow weary. Thanks so much for joining me, and until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.